He's Todd McGreevy. What's going on, man?
In the morning, AD.
Yes, sir.
Happy Wednesday to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into the latest issue of The Reader, something I know that you're also interested in, we're supposed to have this big IDOT thing coming up next week to talk about the bridge plan and potentially Bison Bridge.
You know, I got that postcard in the mail, and I set it on my desk at home, and I haven't read it yet. I've literally had I need to pay more attention to that. Thank you for that reminder. I did tune into the last one. It's like watching paint dry, listening to one of those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not overly exciting. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, pep it up like that. I'm just curious to see what happens. I'll probably just hit Chad Pogracki up for a recap, to be honest with you.
Right, absolutely.
No, but I just know I remember
when
we both.
Is that happening?
What's that?
When does that happen?
It's a week from today, November 15th. Okay. You can register online and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, we both went to the deal they had down in Davenport at the Figgy. And you had to hold me back from beating up that elderly guy, and it just things just got spiraled out of control quickly. But I think I could have taken him. I mean, maybe he had a cane, so I'm not sure. But anyway, you got the latest issues out on the stands?
Yes, sir. We've got issue number 1015, November 2023 is out there. And our lead story is about dogs need donated blood too. Went a little different route than we usually do, but you know, we happened to have visited the Animal Emergency Center on State Street in Bettendorf with one of our dogs recently and got talking to Maddie, who's a really sharp gal, really excellent tech that works there, and got talking to her about what's going on. And it turns out, you know, that they're one of the few blood transfusion centers in the whole region there in Bettendorf. And they need more dogs. Right now, all the people that are donating blood are the people that work there with their dogs. So it's kind of an inside baseball game there right now, and they need some help expanding the information about that, and we encourage that. I mean, you know, you don't know when you need it until you need it, and subsequently, you know, they could use more donors. And the qualifications are the dog must be between the ages of 2 and 7, weigh 55 pounds or more, have type O negative blood, which is universal blood type for all canine transfusions. I didn't know that. Be healthy with no systemic ailments, use year-round heartworm and tick flea prevention, be up to date, and so forth. So.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage people to, if you're interested in participating or learning more about that, to call Maddie Thompson, manager of the Doggy Blood Bank, or Kathy Oberman, director at the Animal Emergency Center, at 563-344-9599. We're really lucky we have that center here. They get people from Rockford, Peoria, all different places, because there's not a lot of emergency centers around. So we should support that organization as much as we can. If you're you know, cat or dog lover, that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Tom McGreevy. I have 6 dogs.
Oh, gosh.
And it's a lot. And I had no idea that a dog blood transfusion was even a thing. I had no clue.
Yeah, they give them a mild sedative, I guess, to keep them calm, you know, and it takes about an hour and a half. You can hang out there and just be there in the waiting room if you want, you know, while you're doing it. Or you just go away and come back. It's real. They're great people at the AEC. They really care about the animals, and they're really compassionate, and it's worth supporting. You know, Kathleen wrote the story, and she interviewed Maddie and so forth, and talks about that in the article. And there's also a organization called Canine Kindness, which you can contact through this AEC Animal Emergency Center, that will take donations for people who need to have their pet have surgeries that they can't afford to pay for. So the money doesn't go to the pet owner, it goes directly to the center to help pay for the surgery. So that's there. Then she also wrote about, because we've got a news release, it doesn't hurt to send your news releases to us at the River Cities Reader, info@rcreader.com. We publish a dozen plus every day at our website, believe it or not. We have updated content every day at our website at rcreader.com. And one of those news releases was in from a program called Movers for Mutts. Have you heard of this before?
I had not, but I did read the story. And I love that you guys are doing all this stuff for dogs. Obviously, I have 6 dogs, so I love dogs.
Yeah.
And based on what I'm seeing here, so we do our can drive. You know, it's an ongoing thing. Advantage Auto Body over there in Hampton collects cans for us. Larry's Metal out in Fenton goes and collects them. They all do it on their own cost, their own time. They've never asked for anything. We've been doing this for almost 8 years now and raised almost $15,000 for charities. And I'm getting this one on the list. It's cool. Not a ton of money. It's usually somewhere between $250 and $500, depending on the price of aluminum. But we'll definitely donate to this. And I see they're asking for essential needs like paper towels, non-clumping, unscented kitty litter, puppy chow, dog chow, regular towels, Dawn dish soap, Nyla bones, 13-gallon, 30-gallon trash bags, kitten wet food, and tidy cats clumping litter. Just your basic stuff. And then you got qcpaws.org here or kingsharvestpetrescue.org also listed as places to go for folks that maybe want to help out.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a promotion that Two Men and a Truck are doing, and they have locations you can actually drop off some of those items. Go check out the list in our issue on stands now. It's on page 7. It has all the lists that AD just read. You can drop them off at QC Paws, City East Moline, Quad Cities Animal Chiropractic, King's Harvest, Central Top Shape Gym, Whitehaven Vet Center, Two Men and a Truck, and check it out. So that's how you can help out. So there's that effort. We also have in this issue Bruce Walters did a piece on La Maine Cassé, this whole buried stories history.
I love the history stuff, man, that you guys do. Yeah, I think it's so cool.
It's fascinating. You know, I've lived here for, you know, geez, more than half my life now, and you know, went to college in Augustana, lived in Rock Island. You know, everyone heard about Chief Blackhawk. He's on the side of a building in downtown Rock Island. A lot of businesses use his name. And did you know, I didn't know this, that he actually fought for the British?
Yeah, well, most of the British and Indians were in cahoots.
Yeah. Except this guy, La Maine Cassé, who Bruce writes about, and that's a whole story about how he, in April of 1779, on the Rock River with the Sauk Indians, stood down 280 British soldiers and so forth. So there's a whole story about him in there, and this is since there's really no photographs of La Maine Cassé, and there's only descriptions of him, Bruce did what I would call a modern-day AI rendering. His own hand-drawn picture of what he thinks La Maine Cassé would look like. So that's in there. And that's all based on a plaque that's at the marker of at the Black Hawk Historic Site in Rock Island. So I encourage people to check that out. Gosh, there's all kinds of stuff in here. There's an article about a neighbor of mine who I was driving by one day, and I happened to see a bunch of Amish people standing in the driveway of my friend Ralph Henniger's house. And I said, what in the heck is going on there? And so I just happened to take a picture, and I texted Ralph, and a couple months later, we have in our paper a story by his wife, Gail. She's been a 60-year pen pal with Nora Sue Miller in Indiana, an Amish woman, and they've been pen pals in second grade. They've been visiting each other over the years for 60 years, and their family was here visiting here in Bettendorf, and she writes all about it. It's a very interesting article. Good, interesting historic background on the Amish. Some things you didn't probably know that you didn't understand. What else? What else caught your eye in this issue?
Well, if you're going to put it out to me, I read the Illinois SB 853 extends several statutory sunsets into 2024. Yes. Essentially, Illinois keeps trying to figure out how to tackle crime, and it ends up with like Chris Farley and Tommy Boy with that biscuit, like just mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Could Illinois be more complicated? It's just insane. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you what. Although I don't agree with a lot of what goes on with who's in control and some of the things that they do, you know, it was almost worse when Rauner was in. I called him do-nothing Rauner because all he did was get into a peeing match with Madigan. And it was like, well, you know, I've got bigger biceps. Well, I've got bigger biceps. And nothing got done. It was just the dumbest thing of all time. I hated it. So I don't know what to think. I don't like any of it, to be honest with you. I shake my head all the time. Pertaining to this, I see that the new Chicago police superintendent is not going to stand by and watch flash mobs, you know, do things, mess with people and all this like they have recently. He just took over, and he's kind of sounds like he's drawing the line. Now, I don't know how long he's going to be able to keep his job if he's actually tough on crime in Chicago. But, I mean, to me, all of this boils down to Chicago. You know, that's where the big problem is. That's where all the crime is. That's what they're trying to tackle. And their whole theory of like, oh, most of the crime is driven by 1,400 people in a city of 10 million. I don't know if that's true. Like some of the thought processes and here stuff. I mean, these people, and these are lawmakers. These are elected officials. And I have to ask myself,
what are you people on dope?
I mean, seriously.
Well, I'll tell you. The article is by Rich Miller, who writes Capital Facts about Illinois politics, and he's talking about the bill SB 1722, which was passed in 2017, that was increasing sentences for violent offenders with weapons and so forth. They're supposed to cut down on violent crime and so forth, and he predicted to cut it down by half in 3 to 5 years. And, of course, it didn't do that, and more people are getting longer sentences, but crime did not go down, and that's the gist of this. And what's happening is there's an omnibus bill called SB 853, which is got a bunch of things in it that are say, hey, let's continue to continue with what we've had. These things that are sunsetting, let's keep them going. And this bill, it happens to be one of them inside this omnibus bill. So I just went online before we went on the air and looked at it. It hasn't moved anywhere. It hasn't come to a vote yet, so it's still out there. But you can check that out if you're interested, and call your legislator to ask them their opinion on this. I mean, it's a hell of a conundrum. What's not talked about in this article is really poor protections of the Second Amendment in Illinois. I think that is probably what would be the biggest crime deterrent there could be. And, of course, that's not happening as part of this discussion. So
no, of course not. Well, I mean, when you got a mayor in Chicago suing car companies for making their cars too easy to steal, you can see where the problem starts here. I also enjoyed your wife's, Kathleen McCarthy's article on Chuck Grassley asking for more information on the Biden family and some more transparency. And I think they have until November 17th to answer that. It would be nice to see, and if we're going to witch hunt Trump and people on the right, let's witch hunt and, let's just make it fair square, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I get that, you know, the Biden administration is in charge right now, so they're going to try to tamp down any investigations. Chances are if Trump gets back in, he's going to pardon himself on everything. I mean, you know, they're going to play their side because they're in control. I understand that. But, boy, it'd be nice to have some transparency either way.
And then my favorite phrase, paragraph in here, he says, you know, the abolitionists that want to change the popular elections and proportionate representation, you know, they enjoin a majority should rule principle in defiance of a liberty for all principle. They don't accept that our federal government was not designed to rule. It was designed to assure self-determination by preventing tyrannical rule by monarch or a slim majority, which is the downside of pure democracy. I just was cheering when I read that. I said, I got to publish this. He just nailed it. I'm so tired of hearing the word democracy. That word does not appear in any one of our founding documents or any state constitution or the U.S. federal constitution. It is not a democracy. It's a republic. So anyway, I encourage you to check out that article. And over and beyond this thought-provoking commentary that we published, AD, we have the world's best Quad Cities calendar you could possibly have, with over 1,000 events listed in there. Mike Schultz does a great job, our arts editor. Visual arts, concerts, literary arts, theater, dance, comedy, museums, festivals. Gary and I were talking beforehand. He was lectures. What kind of lectures are out there? So if you look on page 18, there's, you know, a couple dozen lectures listed. We have everything in here from Iowa Tribe and Effigy Mounds lecture to Vietnam from Tet to Saigon at the Rock Island Public Library to what else do we have in here? We have Designing the Quad Cities, The Legacy of Chicago Architects, QC Native Architectural Historian at the Rock Island. I mean, there's tons of different stuff in here for everybody. We also have coverage of Blue Oyster Cult, which I believe your own Hugo did an interview with yesterday.
Yep.
Did that go down?
Completely jacked up our system doing it. I don't know. Every time he comes in, Todd McGreevy, I don't know how he... And like things I've never seen before, notifications from our system will pop up. I've never seen them before. We've been using this over 7 years. That kid comes in here for 45 minutes. It just, that Chris Farley biscuit thing again. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he touches. I don't know what he breathes on. I don't know what he does. But every single time, and Gary can back me up. And yep. A pretty good Gary imitation there, too. I like that. When the lectures thing. But yeah, I had 42 pairs last time. Where were you, Blue Oyster Cult? Huh?
Yeah.
Good old, what's up?
Hugo pitched me on this. He said these guys are one of the most unrecognized classic rock bands, and he says I'd love to do an interview. So we got that set up with the folks at Rhythm City Casino, and he interviewed Eric Bloom. So we hope to have that as on our website, transcribed on our website, and as a podcast at the Reader's Podcast section. So
yeah, it was a pretty long interview.
Yeah, it was about 30 minutes, I think, he got
with
him, which was cool.
Yeah.
We also have a preview of John Cleese coming up at the Adler Theater. There's a beautiful ad for our friends at the Ballet Quad Cities there on Page Street for the Nutcracker and their Nutcracker Brown Ale Tapping, happening at Stomp Box Tuesday, November 21st. That's always fun to check out. Live music calendar listings are second to none. There's a punk rock Japanese band playing at Bootleg Hill November 11th that we write about in here.
Yep.
Actually, Hugo wrote about that as well.
Yep.
It goes on and on. There's just
it's like a 3-hour wild ride to go through this thing. You read it all, by the end your brain's going like you just I love it. I love getting the reader every month and seeing what you guys are talking about, and then of course all the activities we got going on around here. Blue Oyster Cult, of course, coming, what is it, it's the 18th, Saturday the 18th. Gary Allen's in here. He's at the Adler this Saturday, and our very own Muddy Water Radio, Angela Myers, opening up for him, which we're super excited about.
That's awesome.
So good for her. We're just happy for her. Yeah. She's actually going to be on the show tomorrow at 9:30. So we'll be interviewing her. But yeah, all good stuff. Tom and Gravy, of course, you can check out the River Cities Reader, pick it up, or go to rcreader.com. What is it, Gary?
Yeah, when I read that, I got to redo the modem in the head, recycle.
Right, and then you start looking stuff up, and it sends Gary on like a 4-day, down the rabbit hole. I said we need to do White Rabbits for your intro song when you come on.
Don't forget about those dogs that need blood too, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. You bet.
You guys have a great day.
You too, Todd. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
All right.